You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
PTSD is tough, but it's not a life sentence. With the right treatment, many people find relief and healing. But what are the best options? And how do you know which one is right for you? Today, we're breaking down PTSD treatment methods. And to help us with that, we have Juan Roif joining us once again from the Vista Clinic to just give us some education and background on what this is all about. Juan, good morning. Welcome back once again to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us again. We're talking about the most effective therapies for PTSD. What are those?
Well, the most common really is something called CBT or cognitive behavior therapy, which is very promising, very effective. What it basically does is it helps us to have a look at what has happened and to look at how it has affected us and then to perhaps change or review and perhaps just look at another angle of creative thoughts and emotions and viewpoints, really, because trauma can affect our belief system. Then we've also got prolonged exposure therapy, which I mentioned in the previous session, that this is something that people sometimes try and take on their own, which is really not a good idea. Mm. It is best done with a professional because it has to be done very gradually, very systematic, and then, of course, in a safe place. Can I almost say younger than most of the other ones, is something called EMDR or eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, which is quite a mouthful. That's a very specialized treatment. Not every therapist will be able to do that. You have to get an extra course to do that, but it is very, very effective. And it's very unique, and it helps people to focus on the trauma itself, which is key. I'll mention this again later, but which is key to really look at the root of the trauma and the traumatic event. Now, those are all, shall we call them, verbal or talk therapies. Okay. And then, of course, there's medication. So with medications, they can definitely help the symptoms of PTSD. Again, I don't really want to go into the different types for many different reasons. The best thing to do there is to be guided by a medical practitioner. Suffice to say that sometimes even with PTSD, we will take antidepressants for the benefits they can have. There's calming medication, there's sleeping medication, and all of these essentially part and parcel of the therapy to try and kind of give the body and the brain a reset and or a break to get back to a reset. There's two or more that I quickly want to mention. There's group therapy and support groups. Support groups are usually fairly informal, and then formal group therapy. What happens there, or what the benefit really there is, for being able to hear others and to hear that they're not alone and to hear that what they're going through and what they're experiencing is not that abnormal. And sort of say the slight danger there is that sometimes in these group therapies, people will affect each other negatively in the sense that I haven't heard other traumas, and then I hear of yours, and yours is 10 times worse than mine. And then sometimes people describe in very graphic detail as to what happened to them. And that can, we talk about something called vicarious trauma, which it didn't happen to me, but I hear about it, and my mind goes on. And of course, we'll touch on this later again, but there's little things that we can do on our own, mindfulness, relaxation techniques, and so on. The long and short, I want to say, under the banner of therapy, is don't be shy to do it. PTSD can be recovered from, or very least managed to the point where it's not really affecting your life to that bigger extent.
Yeah, yeah. And then with these treatments that you're talking about, would they be dealing specifically with the symptoms of PTSD? Or is there even a difference between dealing with the symptoms and the PTSD itself?
The mindfulness and the stress reduction, the sort of your breathing techniques and that is really dealing with the symptoms.
Okay.
Whereas to some extent, your CBT or cognitive behavior therapy will also deal a lot with the symptoms, because part of the symptoms is, as I mentioned, having affected my thought processes and my outlook and so on. But it also does speak to trauma. EMDR speaks directly to the core trauma, but then because it affects the core trauma, it also affects, or should we say, negate or very much reduces the actual symptoms as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to touch a little bit more on EMDR a little bit later on today, but right now I just want to touch a little bit more on the CBT. How exactly does that one help with PTSD symptoms?
Okay, so there's a couple of things. So one of them is it changes the unhelpful thoughts. During and after trauma, we very often develop negative beliefs. I can't tell you the amount of people I have dealt with who have been, let's say, through a hijacking and will say things like, it's my fault, I should have done differently, I should have been more aware, etc. It helps to process that.
Okay.
So those kinds of thinkings. We also talk about something called an inner vow, where I will tell myself that I will never, as long as I live, let something happen to me again, which is technically irrational because it's above our control.
Yeah.
So it's basically, in a nutshell, to deal with the thoughts. It helps to reduce avoidance. We sometimes try and avoid going back to or even thinking about the circumstances or scenario, although we know with PTSD it happens whether we like it or not, but we try our best to avoid. You know, if something happened in a shopping mall, I will not go back to that shopping mall. And unfortunately, that grows because I eventually will say, no, I'm not going into a shopping mall at all. So anyway, so it helps with... Yeah, exactly. So it then helps us to reduce those avoidance behaviors, and then it helps to process the actual trauma, the actual event, to talk through it, to work through it, to deal with the sensory impact and sometimes the sensory overload that there was. And then one of the big factors that CBT does is it creates coping skills through dealing with it all. We start creating coping skills, and sometimes basic stuff, breathing techniques, relaxation techniques, falling asleep techniques, problem solving techniques sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the big things, you know. Well, therapy is important, medication sometimes is necessary, but the work we do ourselves in our day-to-day lives, it is sometimes the thing that sort of gets us over the hump, gets us through the thing, because it's only in real life that we start applying these skills that we can actually start seeing, oh, okay, it works.
Yeah.
And I don't have to be scared of the wall anymore and things like that.
Got it. And then you also talked a little bit about medication. You didn't want to get too deep into that, but can it help with PTSD, or is therapy a better approach? Is one better than the other? Do they work together?
It's kind of not an either or one is better or one is not. It really depends from person to person, case to case. You know, medication plays a very big role, where we start talking about very deep impacting severe PTSD, where the person is literally just not coping. Again, it's to take the medication to allow for whatever I'm taking it for that to allow its purpose. Let's say I'm suffering from extreme insomnia, or I literally just can't sleep because I'm just that fearful. There we will maybe perhaps use a sleeping aid or a mild sedative or something like that. just to help that body, that mind, to take a moment so that we can get to a sense of normality. We also know that, you know, PTSD can upset and does upset the body chemistry. And so sometimes we need to take, as I mentioned earlier, antidepressants in order to assist with that body chemistry so that that can be balanced out again. But as I say, the medication oftentimes is more beneficial to the person with severe PTSD, but that person will, once the medication starts doing its job, will go and also have narrative or verbal therapy. Okay. Verbal therapy is what I want to say it always, because it is very important for the person to actually deal with what happened. So the medication will deal with, can I call it the symptoms, but the medication cannot go and process the original trauma. Mm-hmm. Can't do that.
Got it.
Whereas talking definitely can do that. So that's always important. Sometimes if it's not so severe, very moderate PTSD, talk or verbal therapy is enough. And then, as I mentioned, with the more severe, even sometimes moderate, there's a therapy plus medication combination that is necessary.
All right. All right. And then what role would you say lifestyle, you know, diet, exercise, what role do those play in PTSD recovery?
Actually, quite a big role. You know, with any variation in health, there's always a necessity to go and look at what is needed for me to go and recover from this. You know, okay. If we talk, I don't know, compare the two, but let's say you've been diagnosed with diabetes. Mm-hmm. You definitely are going to go up and have to look at your diet, etc.
Sure.
And so this is not what we eat, what we put in our bodies is going to make a difference, believe it or not. Now, I'm not a dietitian, so I'm not going to elaborate too much,
sure.
But that's a good idea. But what we eat, our food can affect our mood, it can affect our energy, it can affect our brain functions. What I have been told and what we sometimes recommend is, you know, your fruits, your veggies, your grains. Omega-3 can play a big role again in that body chemistry. Mm-hmm. Water to stay hydrated is a good idea. And then it's not just what we put in, but what we don't put in. So I always say to people with PTSD, especially those who experience sleeplessness, you don't even look at anything containing caffeine after 2 o'clock in the day.
Yeah.
Because it's going to, sugar is going to play a role. Of course, alcohol and drugs are going to play a role where some people self-medicate, but that's a short-term fix. And in the long term, the alcohol, especially, not to mention the drugs, is actually made to exacerbate the whole business. So, yeah, absolutely. And then we have seen over and over and over, studies have shown that exercise plays a massive role with psychiatric disorders. I don't mean to mention or to single out PTSD, but I do believe that exercise can almost play an extra role with anxiety because,
okay.
You know, with all the muscle, the body builds up lactic acid for one. There's a lot of muscle tension just in general. So a good 30 minutes a day, that's not a lot, but a good 30 minutes a day, it does so much. It gets rid of a lot of lactic acid. It helps the muscles to actually relax a little bit. We get out of our heads, as they say. The body produces endorphins. With 30 minutes, you're also going to get some dopamine. And all of that is going to work towards something better, something healthier. So, yeah, that's a big one that I always recommend is exercise. Mm-hmm. And what it also does is, believe it or not, if you think about it, it makes us sleep better because if the body is physically tired,
yeah,
it will allow us to. And then maybe just the last mention real quick under this heading is sleeping, whether I'm experiencing insomnia or not, starting a strict and consistent bedtime, shall we call it, protocol, mm-hmm. is a very good idea. And where we usually mess it up is over weekends, isn't it? Friday night, we can stay up late because yeah. we can sleep late Saturday morning or Sunday or whenever we take the time off. But the long and the short of it, if you keep a consistent bedtime and you do a lot of the sleep hygiene factors, no screen time 2 hours before bed, allowing the body to start calming down and in inverted commas, shutting down, allowing the brain to say, this is okay, doing your journaling, those kind of things. So allow the body, by the time you go to bed and keeping that bedtime and wake-up time, by the way, mm-hmm. That will go a long way to actually dealing with PTSD as well. So, yeah, this is part and parcel of the work you do, the work the person experiencing it. That's another part and parcel of that. Because that you can mention in therapy, you can go through it in therapy, but you can't do it for the person. And of course, the medication, yeah, can help with sleeping and so on and calming down. Yeah. But it's not going to maintain those regimens that I'm talking about.
Okay. And then coming back to EMDR as we wrap up our conversation for today, how does that work for PTSD?
Right. So it focuses on the traumatic memory. So basically what EMDR is going through the actual event. And then through the process, it's going to be way too complicated to explain exactly how it works and what the practitioner will do. But essentially, it helps you to focus only on the trauma and going through the trauma and processing that trauma. You know, we take in 6 million bits of data per second sure. on a normal average day. Per second on a normal day. So that's a lot of information. That probably triples or quadruples during a traumatic event. So the brain takes in all of this information, and that's part of why we have the symptoms of intrusive thoughts, of flashbacks. Actually, the brain is just trying to process what it's done. But because of all the interactions and stressors and external things that we have to deal with on a daily basis, it doesn't get the time to do it. So with EMDR, you're in a comfortable, quiet, calm, controlled environment, and all you have to do, all your brain has to do is focus on the EMDR mm-hmm. and on the therapist. They use a pendulum motion, and you then sit and focus through this trauma. And what happens there often is what the brain is allowed to say, oh, okay, that happened. Okay, I can fill in this blank. Okay, I can look at that. Oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Oh, this was actually like that. And so on and so forth, which reduces a lot of the emotions, the physical sensations. And it does a thing which is almost difficult to explain. I'm going to explain it like one of my clients said. They said, it feels like it's far away now. Whereas before we started, the event felt like it was present all the time. Mm. If that gives you an idea of the effect. We talk about it takes away the charge related to the incident. Now, charge is the memory, the pain, the emotions, the fear, and so forth. So it takes that away. So I go from, if you can imagine a person talking about a highly upsetting event, screaming and perhaps crying and so forth, versus me saying to you, hey, I had breakfast this morning, I had lovely eggs and a glass of fruit juice, and I really enjoyed it. And that's the extent of it. So being able to tell your worst story, like I just told you about breakfast, versus crying and high emotion and so forth. That's essentially what EMDR does at the end of the day, and it's very effective.
Wow, very interesting. Are there other alternative treatments?
They are. There is something called traumatic incident reduction, which also is quite effective, which works not dissimilar to, well, no, let me rephrase that. It works differently from EMDR in that the person basically repeats the process.
Okay.
And again, the idea is the same, where the person learns by repetition. I'll give you a quick idea. If you've ever watched the same movie two or three times, mm-hmm. the movie gets boring, right?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine your traumatic event getting boring. So that's kind of the effect. So it has very much the same effect. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the being mindful, starting to be in touch with what's happening to me, what affects me, what triggers me. All those things can be part and parcel of your treatment. Learning relaxation techniques. There is music therapy, which we actually do at Vista as well, mm-hmm. which is actually very, very effective. It can again help with the processing. I don't know too much about it, but in music therapy, via the music, via cognitive resonance, the going through a sort of relaxation technique, guided deep breathing, all of these things will eventually assist. And again, actually, I sound like a broken record today, but again, the work we do ourselves, learning the tools and then going to apply those tools, that makes the biggest difference of it all.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Jean, thank you so much for coming through once again. And we'll be chatting again on Wednesday to continue on with this lesson on PTSD. But for today, thank you so much for your time as always.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.